Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Be'ah Daf Mem. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you're not fully familiar with our Gemara Marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our home page. If you're already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the marked Daf Gemara before the shiur. If you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. We begin today's shiur 3 lines from the top of Daf Mem at the beginning of the Gemara. In the Mishnah that we learned at the end of our previous shiur, we discussed fruits that were entrusted in a different location other than where the owner of the fruits was located, and the question came up concerning the tchum of the fruits. Our Gemara likewise opens up with the issue concerning fruits that are entrusted. And on the side of the Gemara we have a topic heading, where we've written Peros Hamufkadim, fruits that are entrusted to be watched by someone else. We'll refer to him as a shomer. Birshus mihem legabi kvias tchum. In whose possession are they considered with regard to the halacha of establishing the tchum of the fruits? Lefi Rav, according to Rav, hashomer. It's considered in the shomer's domain regarding the tchum, so that the fruits could not be carried any further than the distance the shomer is able to go. And according to Shmuel, habaylim, the fruits take on the tchum, the definition of the owner. Hagemora tenase lahamid Rav u'Shmuel kemachloikis chachomim v'rebi, avol docha. The Gemara will attempt to set up the Machlokas Rav and Shmuel in accordance with a Machlokas between the Tanakam or the Chachomim and Rebbe regarding a matter concerning Shmira, concerning watching. And we'll see how that unfolds in the Gemara. So we start the Gemara 3 lines from the top of Daf Mem. Itmar Hamafkid Peros Eitzel Chavero. It is stated that one who entrusts his fruits by his friend, Rav Omar Kiragle Mi Shifkidu Lo, it has the tchum of the shomer. Ushmuel Omar Kiragle Hamafkid. According to Shmuel, the fruit's tchum is defined by the one who entrusted them. We'll refer to him as the owner of the fruits. Question. You'll notice we have a long question marking, which is, as we said in our introduction, a suggestion that Rav and Shmuel pattern their approach that they take in another context of Shmira. So we're going to suggest that Rav and Shmuel parallel a Machlokas Tanakam and Rebbe. And after that, you can see we have another long marking. The Gemara will be doche that suggestion and point out that each one, Rav and Shmuel, will tell you that as far as the Tanoim that we quoted, that we will have quoted, the Tanoim will agree with each one's opinion, Rav and Shmuel, respectively. And that will become clear, of course, as we go through the Gemara. Lema, the Gemara asks, Rav and Shmuel, the Ozu L'Tamayo, shall we say that Rav and Shmuel follow that which they've said elsewhere? Disnan, we have a Tanaic source concerning Shmira. And the source is a little bit terse, so as far as what is featured here is a man who owns an animal, let's say he owns an ox, and he is entering the rishus, the property of someone else. And the question is, under whose supervision is the, we'll call him the visitor's ox? does the owner of the property accept responsibility over the visitor's ox? If he accepts responsibility over it, that means he's considered a shomer. And in the event that the visitor's ox were to damage the shomer's, the host's ox, so if the host will have accepted upon himself shmira, the obligation of watching it, so the visitor who owns the damaging ox will not be held responsible, because the owner of the property accepted responsibility to watch this visiting ox. This is the issue, and now the text. Im hichnis birishus, if the visitor entered with permission, in other words, the owner of the property said, come in, bau hachotzer chayav, the owner of the property is obligated, or accepts thereby, all obligation concerning the visitor's ox. Rebbe oimer, li'oilom eino chayov, ad shi'kabel olov bal habayis lishmor. Rebbe says, just by merely granting permission to enter, the owner of the property does not accept responsibility until he accepts in a formal way, I will watch your ox. So according to the Tanakhama, the Rabbonon, the Tanakhama, that means the first opinion in the source, Shmira is accepted in an easy, rapid fashion. According to Rebbe, one does not become a shomer unless there's a more formal declaration of such. The Omar Rav Huna Amar Rav, Halocho Kedivrei Chachomim. Rav rules like the Tanakhama that with just a minor word like come in, just by saying that, he becomes a shomer. And the ox is considered in his or under his jurisdiction. And hence, if the visiting ox would wreak damage upon the homeowner's ox, the host's ox, the visitor will be exempt. Ushmuel Omar Halocha Karebi. Shmuel says that one doesn't so easily become a shomer. There has to be a formal acceptance of that role. So that having been said, Lema Rav Diomar Karabonan. Now Rav, who said that the entrusted fruits are said to be in the shomer's domain with regard to tchum, the Rav is consistent with the approach of the Rabbona, the Tanakhama, that said a person becomes a shomer rather easily. So that the entrance to Shmira is rapid, is swift, and hence the shomer becomes the central figure, whether it is with regard to responsibility of the ox or with regard to the fruits being considered under his tchum. Ushmuel, the Omar Karebi, and Shmuel, who says the fruits don't so quickly leave the tchum of the owner. They don't. The fruits are considered having the tchum of the owner, and that would seem to be in conjunction or conforming to Rebbe that one doesn't so quickly become a shomer. Omar Loch Rav. Now again, we mentioned this before, we have a long rejection of the approach we just took. Rav will tell you, Omar Loch Rav, Ano Di Amri Afilu L'Rebbe. My comment concerning the tchum of the fruits being considered in the domain or the tchum of the boundaries of the shomer, this is something that Rebbe would agree with. Ad kan lo koma Rebbe hasam. Rebbe said what he did regarding Shmira, that it's not so easy to become a shomer, Elo de bestam lo kovil ole netirusa. That a person in an unqualified or undefined fashion, he does not accept upon himself responsibility. Netirusa means of watching, of guarding. Namely, Rebbe says that by simply telling a visitor, come in, that is not acceptance of guarding. Avol hocha, but concerning the question of tchumen, of fruits that have already been entrusted, hokobi lolei netirusa, the shomer already accepted shmira, he accepted the guarding responsibility. So when one has already accepted the guarding responsibility, it's easy to understand how the fruits are considered having the boundaries, the tchum of the shomer. Rebbe's hesitation, so to speak, was only with regard to initial acceptance of shmira. But once someone is already a shomer, so Rebbe has no problem agreeing with my opinion, says Rav, that the fruits have the din of the tchum of the shomer. Shmuel Omar, and on the same scale of things, Shmuel argues the same way, that everyone, the Rebbe and the Chachamim, would agree with my position. Ano di amri afilu l'rabbonon, I who said that the fruits retain the boundary of the owner, is something that the Rabbonon in this source would agree with. Ad kan lo koamri Rabbonon hosam, the Rabbonon said what they did up till this point only over there. Elo denicho leili inish denekum ture birshuse debal chotzer. Looking at it from the owner of the ox's perspective, the owner of the ox, of the visitor who owns the ox that's entering the property, he's all too happy that his ox should be in the domain under the control of the Bala Chotzer, of the host. Why is he so interested in that? The E Mazikle Lo Mechayev. If the visiting ox were to wreak damage upon the animal of the Baal HaChotzer, of the property of the host, so he, the visitor, won't be obligated to compensate. So he, the visitor, is only too happy to have the shore transferred, the ox transferred to the domain of the host. Abol Hocha. But here, regarding the question of tchum, fruits, boundaries, Mi nicho leili inish delekum peire birshusei dechavre? Is it so comfortable? Does it meet with such approval of the owner of the fruits that his fruits should have the boundary, should be based on his friend's tchum? Of course not. That will limit his, the owner's, access to the fruits. So up till this point, as far as Rav and Shmuel are concerned, so they have a machlokus concerning the tchum of fruits that have already been entrusted. Rav saying that the fruits boundary is defined by the shomer's tchum, and Shmuel says not so, but rather by the owner's tchum. As far as aligning Rav and Shmuel with this other machlokus tanoim, that has been rejected. So we focus right now on Rav and Shmuel. Tnan. On the side of the Gemara, we have a Mivneh structural note which features the triangle. And on the side, we've written Kushois al Rav. These triangles introduce questions on Rav. Sheomar Hatchum Shel Peros Hamufkodim Tchum Mi Shevkidu Etzloi. According to Rav, the Tchum of the Peros is the Tchum of the Shomer. And we're going to ask on that. Tnan, a quote from our Mishnah. V'im irev hu peirosav kamohu. The Mishnah described a person whose fruits were entrusted to someone in a separate town, in a different location, and that location is inaccessible unless one makes an eruv tchumen. It's beyond the tchum of where the owner lives. So the Mishnah says that if the owner made an Eruv Tchumen, enabling him to get to the city where his fruits are located, so then he can bring the fruits back with him on Yom Tov based on his Eruv Tchumen. So once again, what is the Mishnah describing? The Mishnah is describing fruits that have been entrusted to a shomer. Ve'i amris keragle mi shif kidu etzloi. If you're going to accept Rav's opinion that entrusted fruits gain the tchum or are bound by the tchum of the shomer, ki irev hu my have. Even if the owner made an Eruv to get to the town where the fruits are stored, so what? The fruits aren't going to be able to be brought back by the owner to his point of origin. According to Rav, the fruits are bound by the Tchum of the Shomer, and the Shomer didn't make any Eruv Tchumen. The Shomer lives in this faraway town, this town beyond the Tchum of the town of the owner. And yet we see from the Mishnah that the fruits can be carried back from the Shomer to where the owner is, indicating contrary to Rav. Omar Rav Huno Amri Be Rav Kagon Sheyiched Loi Karen Zavis. Rav Huno explains that the Mishnah is talking about a case where the shomer had designated a corner of his house to be considered the domain of the owner. That's the Mishnah. The case that Rav and Shmuel were talking about was a case where the shomer drew the fruits into his domain and is watching them. So, again, just to contrast, in the case of the Mishnah, the person by whom the fruits were being stored had designated a corner of his house and designated it for the owner of the fruits. So the fruits are said to be in the owner's domain. But in the absence of Yiched Loi Keren Zavis, it is as Rav said, the fruits are considered in the shomer's domain. Toshma. We continue with another quote from our Mishnah. This is a quote from the part of the Mishnah that appears at the top of this page. Misha Zimein Etzlo Orchim. A person was hosting guests. He invited guests by him. And the guests are coming to this location through an Eruv Tchumen. In other words, the guests live beyond 2,000 amas of where the host is. Lo yolichu biyodom monois. The owner, after the meal, shouldn't give them a doggy bag of the leftover food or portions that they didn't eat in order for them to take it back home. Elohim came ziko lahem menesehem me'erev yontov. Unless the owner or the host had given through a third party or designated through a third party that the portions from Erev Yom Tov already shall belong to the guests. We discussed this at greater length when we learned the Mishnah, our previous shiur, so by all means, you might want to refresh yourselves with that. But the point right now is that you have a situation where people are coming from outside the Tchum with their Erev Tchum, and they will be able to take from the host's house the portions back home. But now, in terms of Shmira, in terms of who's guarding it, these portions are under whose jurisdiction guarding-wise? Of course, they're under the host's jurisdiction. It's his food, after all. And we're saying it's his food, even if he was mizake the portions from Erev Yom Tov. Namely, he called a third party and said, would you take these portions on behalf of my guests that will be coming on Yom Tov? So, monetarily speaking, it belongs to the guests. However, where is the food being stored? Where is it being guarded? It's being guarded in the house of the host. The Amris Karagli Mishif Kidu Etzlo, if you're going to accept Rav's approach to the Tchum of fruits, of portions under guard, having the Tchum of the Shomer, Kiziko Lahem Ayodei Acher Mayhave, even if he designated the portions to be the to be belonging to the guests through the third party as we described before, so what? How does that enable the guests to carry the doggy bags back to their homes that are beyond the tchum through their Erev Tchumen? After all, they are still entrusted to the host. The host is guarding it. The host is the shomer. And the host didn't make an Eruv Tchumen to get to their community. So if Rav is correct, well then this mission is hard to understand. The Gemara answers, Hochinami, in this part of the mission as well, Kevon Sheziko Lohem Ayodei Acher, since the owner troubled himself to transfer ownership through Zechia, calling a third party, an outsider, and say, take these portions on behalf of my guests, Kemi Sheyiched Loi Karen Zovis Domi. It's as if he designated a corner in his house for them. And we saw that before, that if that's done, then it's not considered in the domain of the Shomer anymore. Another approach is simply saying that once the owner troubles himself to transfer ownership through Zechia, that is different. You can see that the owner's whole interest is in getting it out of his domain and thereby transferring it to their domain. And with that explanation, we also can understand how they are able to take it back with them, because the portions have already been transferred to their domain, even with regard to tchum, not just ownership, but with regard to tchum as well. Rav Chono Bar Chaniloi Tolo Bisra Beibro Didosha. First we translate, and then we'll see how the Gemara entertains different possibilities of what really takes place here. Rav Chona Bar Chaniloi, we'll see shortly in Rashi that he was being hosted in an inn. Tola Bisra is meat. Tola means suspended. Meat was suspended. The Ibra de Dasha, the entrance to where he was staying. So if he had a if he was staying in an inn and there were, let's say there were cottages or bungalows, so there was meat that was suspended at the entrance to his cottage. On the side of the Gemara, we have a mivne, a structural note. There are shnei shlavim b'havonas Rav Huna. We're going to see what Rav Huna rules, and then we'll have two stages in understanding Rav Huna. So let's continue in the Gemara. Also, lekamei the Rav Huna. Omar le. Rav Huna says, i'at tolis zil shakil. If you suspended the meat from the lintel of your doorway, then go ahead and take it. The inhu tolu loch lo tishkol. If they hung it for you, the they is a reference to the butchers of the town, the taboche o'ir, as Rashi says. If they suspended the meat for you, then you cannot take it. Now, we should mention that Rav Chonobar Chaniloi was at an inn. He was from a city that you would be able to get to only if you had made an Eruv. So Rav Chonobar Chaniloi, he can get home if he had made an Eruv. We can't explain too much because the sukkah here actually has a surprise ending to it, so as to, let us say, not just keep you in suspense, but to appreciate the Gemara at the outset, so one is led to believe that the issue right now concerning Rav Huna and his ruling, you can yes take it, you cannot take it, has to do with taking it and going home with it with because of tchum considerations. So the Rav Huna said what he did. He says, if you suspended it, so you can take it. If they, if the butchers of the city who provide the meat, they suspended it, then you cannot. The diamond, we have some markings here. There's diamond and house forms and some double underlines on the side. We note that these are Sidro Shel Kushios Al HaPsak Shel Rav Huna. We have a series of questions that we've labeled one and a few lines later two. These are questions on the Psak of Rav Huna. So the Gemara asks, Ve'i Ihu Tola. And let's say he, the visitor at the inn, Rav Huna, he suspended the meat. Mi Shokil? Can he take it? V'ha Rav Huna Talmidoi de Rav Have. Rav Huna was a student of Rav. V'yomar Rav Karagle Mi Shifkidu Etzlo. That the items that are entrusted have the din of the owner of the property in which they were entrusted. So now Rav is not the Rav Huna is a visitor. He's a guest at an inn. The property belongs to the innkeeper. So how can Rav Huna, who's a Talmud of Rav, say that the guest can take the meat home with him? After all, Rav, who was the teacher of Rav Huna, had ruled that the tchum is that of the shomer. So the Gemara answers, Shiny Ibro de Dosha, the lintel of the doorway, the entrance of the doorway, is different. The kami shiyiche lo keren zovis domi. By the fact that the meat was hung specifically at the entrance to the room in which Rav was staying, that is as if the innkeeper had designated a corner for Rav specifically. And as we saw before, in the case of yichud lekeren zovis, so then the item, the food item, will not have the din of the shomer, but rather the visitor, or the one who's coming from outside the tchum. Omar le Rav Hillel le Rav Ashi. Now here we have a second approach, and you'll note structurally there are a couple questions that are asked, and they're not answered. They're not answered immediately. And we've noted the Gemara using the Aleph Beis lettering system. So we have the second approach, and this second approach of questions deals with what Rav Huna says in his point number two above. So question number one, that was the first diamond, was a question focused on Rav Huna's first point. And here we have a question focused on Rav Huna's second point. Now, what did Rav Huna say above, number two? He said, if the butcher suspended the meat, so then you cannot take it. So we're going to ask now, V'i'inu talule lo shokil, if they suspended the meat at Rav Huna's doorway, Rav Huna can't take it home, V'amar Shmuel, shor shel patom harehu keragle kol adam. A comment Shmuel had made says, and this we learned recently on Daf Lamed Ches, that an ox that's raised by a patam is someone who fattens up animals for sale. And who does the owner, the vendor have in mind? He has in mind everybody, wherever they may be coming from. And as such, he says, Hare hu, the shor that's been fattened up by the patam, that animal is keragli kol adam. It takes on the tchum of whoever is coming to purchase it. we can have one customer. You have different people coming from different locations. One coming from 4,000 amas to the north of the city. Another person coming 4,000 amas from the south of the city. Whoever purchases it takes the meat to where he can go. So, likewise, the butchers of the community, they provide meat for whomever and as such, why should Rav Chana Bar Chanina not be able to take it back with him? That's the question. It's not answered though. Amar le Ravino le Ravashi. The inu talu le. Notice what we've done with our markings, and we double underline inu because we have a series of three questions that are essentially attacks on Rav Huna's number two point. So here Ravino asks Ravashi, the inu talu le lo shakil, and if the butcher suspended the meat at Rav Chana's doorway, Rav Chana can't take it home. Now this is a reference to a Gemara that we had earlier in a previous shiur, and we look at Rashi. We're looking at the Rashi toward the lower part of the narrow lines. So Ravina says to Ravashi, Inu tolu le lo shokil, and if the butcher suspended the meat, what Rav Chana, the visitor, can't take it back home. Rabbi Yochanan told Rabbi Dosa, Diomar, Rabbi Dosa said, Harehu karagle horoya, that an animal that's entrusted to a shepherd, so it takes on the tchum of the shepherd. Almo kevon diain roya elahu. This is how the Gemara explained Rabbi Dosa back there. Where if you have a town that has only one shepherd in it, so it's obvious then that the tchum of the animals of the town, different people entrust their animals to the singular roa that's in the town, the singular shepherd that's in town, the animals take on the tchum of the shepherd. V'anan sadi, and we bear witness, d'chol mi shiyesh lo behema, Daito shitehe kiraglov. Anyone who has an animal, his intention is that it should have the same tum as himself. Amrinon basre ozla. We say it follows him. The kol shekein hocha. Let's go over this last point in Rashi. Vanan sadi, and we bear witness. The chol mi sheyesh lo behema. Anyone in the town that has an animal, daito shtei karaglov, like the raglov of the roe. It's obvious that they want the animal to be under the jurisdiction and the boundaries of the roe, and they follow the roe. That's the amrinon basre. Also, the animal shall follow the roe. So you see that there's a consensus where you have one roe, that the animal that's entrusted, all the different people's animals, will follow the tchum of the shepherd. That's the communal interest. The chol shekein hocha, and all the more so in the case of Rav Chana with the suspended meat, the ukmua behenya berishusei. It's not just a matter of intention, but they physically put it in his domain. Vadaito didei tolulei. They suspended it with Rav Chana in mind, that he should enjoy it, that he should be able to take it home. So that, what difference does it make that others suspended the meat by the doorway? That's their intention. And that's what the question is when Ravino's asking. Was it not said that the halacha follows Rabbi Dosa? Omar le Rav Ashi the Rav Tana. Up till now, in the last two questions, the questions were posed to Rav Ashi. Here Rav Ashi takes the offensive, and Rav Ashi presents a question to Rav Kahana. Same type of question. The inu tolule lo shokil, and if the butchers of the town suspended the meat at Rav Chana's entranceway where he was staying at the inn, what, Rav Chana shouldn't be able to take it? The hotnan habehemo vakelim kiragle habailim. The animals and the vessels of a person have the tum of the owner of those items. And in our case, Rav Chana is the owner of the meat. So why should the meat not have Rav Chana's Tum. Well, with all these questions having been asked, if the issue in fact is a matter of Tum, then it is true. Rav Chana should have had no trouble in taking the meat. Ela Shiny Rav Chana Bar Chaniloi. Now here we're at approach number two. We indicated before that there were two approaches to understanding Rav Huna. The case here has nothing to do, the Shaila that came to Rav Huna, can he take the meat, can he not take the meat, has nothing to do with the issue of Tchum. But rather, it's based on a different topic, a topic that's found in Maseches Chulin. Rav in Maseches Chulin says, he talks about a problem called Basar Shenis Alim in Ayin. Meat that was not under constant guard. Nisali means hidden from the eye. There is a fear that if meat was not under constant Jewish guard, that a Gentile came and switched the kosher meat with something unkosher. That's Basar Shenis Alim in Ayin. So now the Gemara explains, Rav Chana is different. Degavra Rabahu, Vitori Bishmaisi, he's a great man, and he's very preoccupied with his learning. Vehochi Ka'omar Lei. And thusly, Rav Huna answered when the question was posed, the question concerning Rav Chana and the meat suspended from the entranceway. So this is what Rav Huna ruled. Iat tolis, if you handle the meat and you suspended it from the entrance, isloch simona begavei velomaschis daitoch minei zeal shkol. If you handled it, so then you would have noticed whatever peculiar aspect there was to the meat that would make this meat uniquely different from other meats. That's a simon. You have a simon begavei in it, and you don't lose concentration or thinking of it because you feel you'll be able to identify it. So go ahead and take it and don't worry about the meat having been switched around based on the chashash, the suspicion when we speak about Basar Shenis Alim in Ayin. However, v'inu talulach, if they, the butchers, suspended the meat at your entranceway, so you don't have any clear identification marks in the meat. So, maschis daitoch, you would have literally lost concentration for lo tishkol, and you therefore cannot take it. The Rashi says in the wide lines under the Gemara, fourth wide line at the end, v'inu tolu loch, ato lo hoya daitoch likach. You didn't have that in mind. In other words, they suspended it from your entrance way. It wasn't with your knowledge. They're not going to be careful regarding your meat. They will not have been concentrating on it to make sure that it was not switched. And therefore, don't take it. Well, we now approach the new Mishnah. It's actually the last Mishnah of the Perek. This Mishnah makes reference to Tchumen, but it's the focus of the Gemara's discussion, you will see, is more regarding Muktzeh. The Mishnah, Ein Mashkin V'shochtin Es Hamidborios. One is not to give to drink and then slaughter animals that we call Midborios. Avol Mashkin V'shochtin Es Habaisos. The word Midborios, you can see in the word, you have the word Midbar, desert, which means outlying areas. So animals that come from the Midborios, we don't give to drink and shecht. However, Baisos, you can see the word bias is located there, those we do. We give to drink and we'll shecht them on Yom Tov. Elu hein Baisos, halonos be'ir. Baisos is a reference to those animals that sleep in the town, in the the current location, the in this local locality. Midborios, halonos ba'efer. Midborios are animals that sleep out in the wilds. The Gemara asks, Loma li lemeimar mashkin v'shochtin. If the point of the Mishnah is what animals you can slaughter to eat, of what significance is there in adding that we give them to drink? We give them to drink and then slaughter. Milsa agavur chikomashin. The Mishnah is telling us something by the way. The lishki inish behemto v'hodar lishchot. First, the person should give the animal to drink and then slaughter it. Mishum sircha de mashcha. This is done in order to loosen the attachment. The sircha is the attachment, the mashcha of the skin, which eventually becomes the leather to the meat. So it makes it easier to skin it if the animal is given to drink before its slaughtering. Tanu rabbanon elu hein midvaros elu hein baisos. Here we will classify, we'll define these two terms, midborios and baisos. Midborios, kol shiyotzus bepesach, v'roos ba'efer, v'nechlosus b'rvio rishon. All those animals that go out in Pesach time to the fields to graze, and they don't return until the rivio rishon, the first rainfall. V'elohein baisos, kol shiyotzus v'roos chutz l'tchum, ubos v'lonos besoch atchum. Those animals that go out and graze beyond the tchum and come back and sleep within the tchum. Rebbe Omer, elu v'elu baisos. Both of the animals you just described are baisos. In other words, even what you described as midborios, that they come in the after the first rain, they come and sleep in town, that's considered baisos. Elo eluhein midborios, the following are the midborios, and would be considered mukta. Kol shiyosis v'royis be'efer, ve'inichnosis liyishu v'loimus hachama v'loimus hachshomim. Those animals that are sent out to graze and don't come back to the community, not in the Yomosacham, not in the summer, nor in the winter. So you see that Rebbe has as his definition of Midborio something more extreme than the Tanakama's definition. And the problem with the Midborios is what we call mukta. They were not prepared for Yom Tov use. The Gemara asks, Umi Islay Le Rebbe Mukta. Now, in reading the source, we saw Rebbe's name appeared, and he was describing the Midborios, and we know that the Midborios are something that you're not allowed to shecht on Yom Tov. That's what we saw in our Mishnah. So the Gemara asks, Umi Yisle Le Rebbe Mukta, does Rebbe hold from the concept and the restriction of Mukta? V'ha bo amine Rebbe Shimon bar Rebbe, may Rebbe, Rebbe's son, Rebbe Shimon, asked his father, Patzile tomorrow Le Rebbe Shimon Mahu. Patzile tomorrow are dates that don't ripen on the trees. In other words, they'll never ripen on the trees. These kind of dates, one can gather and put them in certain type of basket, and in the while they're assembled or accumulated in the basket, they ripen. So the question was asked of Rebbe: can one take from these baskets the dates and eat them on Yom Tov? Armalei, Rebbe says, Ein muktzil Rebbe Shimon ela grogros v'tzimukin bilvad. The only thing that Rebbe Shimon would ban you on the grounds of muktzil would ban you from figs and raisins. Now, the nature of figs and raisins, or figs and grapes that become raisins, the nature of those fruits is that Really, they start out as fresh figs and fresh grapes that are fit for eating. Then the person actively pushes them aside, puts them up on the roof to dry, and in the course of the time that they're drying, they really become inedible. They're not roy, they're not fit until they completely dry out. Not so is the case with the pasile tamora. There he never pushed them away. They were simply never right to begin with. So that, what do we see? We see that Rebbe doesn't hold from muktzah except for an extreme case, and that's where you were doiche biyadayim, where you push them aside, a sort of an action which serves to declare that you're not interested in them. So that being the case, how is it that in the source that we saw at the bottom of Omer Aleph, Rebbe is describing the Midborios, and we know you're not allowed to shecht them on Yom Tov, and the assumption being because they are mukta. The Gemara responds, and we have a series of triangles, and on the side under the Mivneh heading, we've noted Shuvos LaSheilah. These are responses to the question, Umi Islay LeRebbe Mukta? Does Rebbe really hold from Mukta? So the Gemara answers, Iboyasema Hani Nami Kegros Smukim Domu. The Midborios are like the Grogos and Smukim case. What did you? You have these animals that you sent out to the wilds that don't come into the community at all. So it's as if you were mekatzoisam biyodayim. It's as if you pushed them away from any thought on your part to use them on Yom Tov. So they are like grogos smukim, which even those who don't hold from muktzah, like Rabbi Shimon, will acknowledge in this case, since you actively pushed them away, they're considered muktzah, set aside and not available for your use. V-boy, same or second approach. L'dvor of the Rabbi Shimon Komar, v'lei lo svira lei. Rebbe's response to the question of Patsile Tamora was a response whereby Rebbe was speaking in the name of Rabbi Shimon. In other words, what would Rabbi Shimon say? But Rebbe himself doesn't hold like Rabbi Shimon. Rebbe holds that there is Muktza, and therefore there's no problem in understanding the source where Rebbe defines Midborios, and as such, they are muktzah according to his definition of midborios being something that animals that don't come into the community at all around the year. So, according to the second approach, Rebbe is accepting muktzah, and he's not accepting Rebbe Shimon's approach, but rather he's answering the question Patsli Tamora through the a position of Rabbi Shimon, but not that he accepts that. V'boyaseimo, a third approach, is l'divreim d'rabbonon ko'omar lehu. That in the Tanaic source with the animals and how you define midborios and baisos, Rebbe was not speaking on his own, but he was speaking to the rabbonon in their terms. Don't forget, in the source at the bottom of Mem Omer Aleph, there were two opinions as to how to describe these animals. You have the Tanakama and Rebbe. So, according to this third triangle, the third response, L'divreim d'rabbonon komar lehu. Rebbe was talking to the rabbonon in their terms. L'didi ein muktza. As far as I am concerned, there is no muktza, and all of these animals would be okay to shecht on Yom Tov. Elo l'didchu, but according to you who are making a distinction between Midbaisos and Midborios, Odu li mihas, you should at least concede to me, says Rebbe, Hecha di yoitzis reis v'pesach v'nechnosis birvir rishoyna, that where you have animals that go out and graze in the springtime, the Pesach time, and they come back a half year later approximately when the rainy season begins. So maybe a little, approximately maybe a little more than a half year later, but around 6 to 6 to 7 months later, they come back when the rainy season comes. You, Rabbonot, should agree, should concede, let us say, that those are the Baisos, saying those are Baisos. The Omrule Rabbonon, lo. And the Rabbonon respond to Rebbe and says, no, we don't agree with that. Mitbarios hain. The animals that are out grazing for half a year are Mitbarios. With, of course, all that goes along with that, as we saw regarding Yom Tov use. Before we conclude, let us remind you that if you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. With that, we wish you a Mazel Tov upon completing Maseches Be'ah. And with that, we conclude our shiur for today.